Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. You can catch this whole series. You can listen to this whole series called War in the Church, based on Paul's epistle to the Galatians at thegodschool.com, if this is the first time. Or if we don't finish this message in that half hour that we're allotted on shortwave radio. I know right where we finished last time. We finished in that first verse of the fifth chapter of Galatians, wherein it says, stand fast, therefore. Why? Paul is given reasoning. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, Paul uses various terms to say the same thing throughout this letter to the Galatians. He uses the same term in many other different terms, saying the same thing in many other of his letters to the church, that is, to the people who belong to the Lord. Here he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He uses the term circumcision. He uses the term justified by the law. These are all terms wherein oft times in churches from the time of the Apostle James, who opposed the Apostle Paul, until today, churches, houses of God around the world have preached the good news of God, that the salvation of God is by faith. But once you get in, they start putting us under the yoke of bondage, putting us, to be circumcised. That's not necessarily literal anymore, but it's observations of the law. They want to see it. They want to be part of the work of God. They want credit. Where God gets all the credit. It is a work of God in that 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus, even Jesus himself, tells us that God, our Father, does the work. I fight this view of myself, or have the question, am I doing the right thing? No, God, what has God done is the question. And God in Christ Jesus has delivered us for his own sake, having put our sins on Christ, and Christ paying the price to redeem us, the full, complete, nothing more needed, has delivered us, has redeemed us from our sins and made us free. Paul continues, he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, if you're relying on any fleshly performance, circumcision was nothing but an outward observation of the law, that he's a debtor. No, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing, that Christ and his work shall be of no effect unto you. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. It's not just a little bit here or a little bit there. The whole law, of which there is only one man in the history of man that ever kept the law, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I am come to fulfill it. And he did. That was the price of redemption. That perfect life of Christ. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Ye are fallen from unmerited favor. Ye are fallen from the gift of God. You make the gift of God of no effect. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are. Justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Fifth verse says, for we, who's the we? 28th verse of the fourth chapter. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Whoa. Promise of who? Promise of God. Are children of promise. For we through the Spirit. How do you get in the Spirit? Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for that gift of God, of his righteousness, by faith. We wait. King David, that most human of humans, writes in the 17th Psalm, verse 15, he says, as for me, I will behold thy face, speaking of God, in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake. This doesn't say when I awoke. You know, we're just inundated with these awokers, like somehow they just woke up and found out there's injustice in the world. It's been going on. It's been going on since Adam and Eve. It's been going on since Cain and Abel. There's nothing new. These wokesters. David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We learn from the potter's house that God, the potter, having made the vessel and having now seen the vessel was marred, Jeremiah 18 tells us that the potter maketh it over as seemeth good unto him. It's what God's doing with this crock of clay. That's what he's doing with you, crocks of clay, sons and daughters of God. I just want to encourage you to stay in the gospel, the promises of God. In the first epistle of the Apostle John, in the third verse, John says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, loved of God, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, same hope that Paul's talking about here, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Every man that has this hope in him that is in Jesus purifies himself even as he that is Jesus is pure. Hey, this is a journey of faith, folks. It's faith. It's not works. It's faith. It's not law. It's grace, it's the gospel, it's not fleshly performance. It's by faith, and we live by faith, not by sight. Paul tells us in that third chapter of Hebrews, for Christ as son over his own house, and that word son here is despot, he's the guy in control over his own house. Whose house are we? God in Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end? We, if we continue the way we started, we heard that Christ took our sins upon himself, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. If you're still in this world, we have to continue in the hope of that promise. of eternal life in Jesus Christ by the will of the Father. If we, through the Spirit, wait, John says, it does not yet appear. He says, we are the sons of God, but it does not yet appear. Already, not yet. Craig Lamp, my great friend, the owner of the Bible Museum, used to use that phrase quite often. I'm remembering him this weekend. It was 2 years ago that he began his new journey. That is, he began his journey now, being completed in Christ, as he passed August 5th, 2 years ago. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which energizes love. We've spoke on that in this series. He did run well, Paul continues. Who did hinder you? Who put the evil eye on you, that you should not be persuaded by the truth, by the reality of God's word, by the reality of God's promise? When God says something, it is. Whether we see it or not, it will be manifested. This persuasion, that is, the ones hindering you, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It's not from God. He says we're children of the free. He says he has made us free. And we are to stand fast. That's a warfare term, folks. That's on 24-hour guard duty. Well, Don, are you always at 24-hour? No, I'm not. But, you know, faith starts it. Faith continues it. If the wonderful thing about faith is we can always start over. The difficult thing about faith is we must continue in the hope and rejoicing unto the end. It's faith, it's faith, it's faith. The 9th verse says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That is, the self-righteousness. Cut through it all. You know, I don't know all the people I'm speaking with, but I know this, and I do by the Spirit and by the Word of God pray that you stand not in front of Jesus Christ presenting your self-righteousness. Oh, didn't we do thus and such in your name? Didn't we do thus and such in your name? Because the Word tells us the response of Christ is, be gone from me, I never knew you. Do good works come from this relationship that we have entered into by faith with God in Christ? Yes, God says he ordained that we might walk in good works. If you find yourself in what can and should be called a good work, give God the glory because he orders the steps of men, particularly of men that he chose for himself before the foundation of the world. I'm throwing the whole kit and caboodle at you today. A little leaveneth the whole lump. He's talking about the self-righteousness, again, as I said, of the Pharisees. I have this confidence in you through the word, Paul says, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, the law, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. This word, I don't know why they used offense. Maybe I do. But it's the stumbling block. And in 1 Corinthians, it says that Christ, in the 23rd verse, it says, of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. They'd rather do it themselves. When I was a kid, I wish I could remember what the product was. But there was an advertisement that we all, you know, used to jokingly say, because the words in the commercial said, please, mother, I'd rather do it myself. Well, you know, if you'd rather do it yourself and no, and reject God's work in Christ, well, I don't think there's any hope for you. That's what this verse 11 says. Then the offense of the cross is ceased. Paul says, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. You know, if you, there are several translations which would say, would mutilate themselves. You know, Paul's talking here. You know, if circumcision is your big thing, if you want that outward sign of the observation of the law, then, you know, Paul says, I would that you cut the whole thing off. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use this grace as license Well, you know, I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, you know, to some extent we do that. 'Cause the old man still lives. But stay in grace. Stay in faith. With the hope of the promise of God that we have in Jesus Christ. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you value your life, value the life of your neighbor, God values the work and faith of his Son, Jesus Christ, in restoring to our Father his creation. More than anything, his creation can do we, his creation, ought to value Jesus the same way our Father in heaven does. We're not going to get as far today as I hope we would in this teaching. But as we draw this to a close, Paul says in the 16th verse, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The legalists are going to say, see, there you go. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's the lust of the flesh? Paul goes on and he says, you know, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. That's not even in the original, by the way, folks. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. You know, I think when I got my first Bible, I was already an adult. The Bible didn't mean much in the religion I was brought up in. They were the Word of God, not this Word that God has preserved since he first gave it to Moses. And the other men that make up the writers of that which we call the Bible. You know, I think I read that and I said, oh, I got no hope. For it says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me give you I believe, the best translation I've ever come across. That was delivered to me by my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, a great teacher of the Word of God. And he translated it this way. Walk in the Spirit, and the flesh will not have the last word. No prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. Paul tells us in that the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, he has just told us, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. This is speaks of a new creation, folks. We are dual. We have become, by the grace of God, a dual creation. The old man, who, if you're listening, is still alive, but the new creation in Christ, and the flesh, which we are to reckon dead because of sin, will not have the last word. It will not. All these things that Paul goes on to say in the 19th, 20th, and 21st verses of Galatians 5. You know, is this teacher, is this preacher guilty of any of these things? I sure as hell am. Are you? Yes, you are. As long as you are alive in the flesh. I envy those who are already passed on and are enjoying the manifestations of all the promises of God. We're going to get there, folks, as we continue and wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, next week, we're going to talk about not only war in the church, but war in our lives, and war against the God of this world, and the victory that we have in Christ. I hope you're with us. Until then, live by faith, not by sight.